Terry, always great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Tess.
So, you know, this saga, as I said, we thought we left this in 2017. It's been really tiring for, you know, politicians and, I guess, citizens alike. Do you think that this saga has had any major effect on our, I guess, political efficiency?
Political efficiency? I know that's like military intelligence. But, look, I don't think it really has. The business of government has kept going. Parliament has kept going, though it's not efficient in the first place, which is why I say that's a bit of a chuckle at your question. But what has happened with David Feeney and his resignation is that temporarily it makes the government's position in the House of Representatives that much better, and I think it actually puts them in a position where they could reasonably pass motions to refer MPs with questions over their citizenship to the High Court for a decision, and that's creating a bit of a stir at the moment, because Bill Shorten is resisting referring one of his MPs, particularly Susan Lamb from Queensland, who again is a suspected British citizen. But he's actually counterattacking by saying that the Libs should actually refer Jason Falinski, the member for McKellar in Sydney, who has a Polish extraction, to the High Court, because his paperwork is, according to them, questionable. So it's a bit of tit-for-tat going on at the moment, but at the moment also the government may well have the numbers to bring at least one MP and probably more to the High Court, because there's another one, of course, Rebecca Sharkey, the Nick Xenophon MP from South Australia, has also been under a bit of a question about her citizenship status. So, but there is a political game of tit-for-tat going on at the moment, and it's all a bit of a power game as well between Malcolm Turnbull and Bill Shorten.
It's been a wild ride. And I mean, speaking of, I guess, David Feeney, the most recent politician to resign his seat, the Labor MP, you know, we had suggestions of just a sweep, a clean, everyone had to prove their citizenship, you know, not too long after Scott Ludlam initially resigned. I mean, wouldn't you have thought this would have been done by now?
Well, what happened after a lot of dragging of chains and kicking and screaming was that Malcolm Turnbull agreed or ordered, under pressure, a citizenship audit of all MPs and senators. And these arguments about the citizenship status of some MPs and senators at the moment comes from that audit. But it all comes down, though, to who said what, whose paperwork is right, who made reasonable attempts to renounce their citizenship before they were elected, and so on. And that's where the High Court really needs to come in. But my sense is this has gone on too long. We talked about the efficiency of government before, but and the efficiency of Parliament, but what it has done, in my view, Tess, is undermine public confidence in our Parliament. When we see these jokers can't get their paperwork right and then come and go according to what the High Court says, and then puts into question whether, say, a parliamentary vote is, you know, reliable and definitive because somebody is in it who maybe shouldn't have been in it, and so on and so forth. That just really cheeses off, I think, the voting public, who actually just want their politicians to get on with the job and be confirmed as being genuinely entitled to be there.
And I mean, as well, I live in Bennelong personally, and the by-election was not fun. You know, by-elections aren't something that people, I guess, really want to be dealing with at this point in the year.
Well, that's right. And by-elections, and that's why I think it's important that the High Court is brought into this and makes ruling sooner rather than later on number of MPs. So if there are going to be by-elections, as far as possible, there we have a super Saturday where as many are held on the same day as we can make it happen. In David Feeney's case, it's already happened. There has to be a by-election in the seat of Batman. As far as I know, Robin isn't standing as a candidate there. And that will probably be, I think, in the first half of March. The writs will probably be issued very soon in the coming days. So, and that's going to be an interesting one, because that's almost definitely going to change the balance of numbers in the lower house, because David Feeney is and Batman is actually quite a left-leaning, progressive. Lots of professionals have moved in to gentrify it. My sense, and I think the sense of the political commentary, people generally is that it is in serious danger from the Labor Party's perspective of turning green and staying green. And that if Feeney himself wouldn't, even if he cleared up his citizenship status, because he's seen as a nice bloke but a bit of a hapless bumbler because he's had a few bad experiences in the 2016 election on top of all of this, that he couldn't compete. So what the Labor Party has put up is the current president of the ACTU, Jed Carney, who is of the left faction and probably as close as they feel they can go to being a Green in Green-leaning electorate. So if the Greens get an extra seat in the House of Reps, it's going to make life really interesting for the Labor Party, and particularly for Bill Shorten, who is trying to become Prime Minister and looking at the news polls yesterday, is starting to come under a bit of heat, a bit of scrutiny in terms of whether he's up to the job. So he's getting pushed from Turnbull and co on the right, but he's also being pushed harder and harder from the Greens on the left. And if he doesn't get this right, if he sort of goes tax the Labor Party too far to the left, that actually may vacate the centre ground, which makes Malcolm Turnbull's position in terms of getting re-elected that much easier.
I tell you, I wouldn't want to swap positions with Bill Shorten for anyone at the moment. But going forward, you know, it seems like neither major party really wants to commit to making a real decision on this issue. How do we move forward? Because, I mean, well, I'm just sick of seeing it in the news, to be honest.
Well, I'm sick of seeing it too. and George Williams, the prominent constitutional lawyer, had an article, I think, in The Australian yesterday, which made a very simple proposal about fixing up Section 44 of the Constitution, the section that deals with these eligibility issues. And he simply said that many other sections of the Constitution, when it was put together in 1900, effectively gave Parliament the power to sort things out down the track. Sections have a clause in them which starts, until the Parliament other provides, which means that when Parliament wants to change things, it can. So what he's saying is what we should do is have a referendum on Section 44, but simply give Parliament the power to change these entitlement and eligibility rules down the track. So we say there's a problem that needs to be fixed, now Parliament go and fix it. And that would, in my mind, is actually a very simple, very elegant solution to a stupid but complex problem.
Well, it'll definitely be an interesting one. Terry, always great to have you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks again, Tess.